Morning, church.
Buenos días, iglesia. Good morning, and welcome to the house of the Lord that we are, the people of God, the fellowship. Again, wonderful to be here every Sunday. I look forward to being with the house of the Lord. It's never a Sunday drag for me. I wake up every morning and look forward to being with the church, to sing songs of praise, and to help ourselves to be reoriented or be realigned. In some senses, we meet on Sundays, we meet on Wednesdays, we meet together to get ourselves refocused, reoriented with the Lord. And that should be the priority. That should be why we get together, to sing praise to God, to recognize where everything comes from, to recognize why we have goodness, why we have blessings, is from the Lord. Reorientation, realignment. Anybody who drives a car knows that every now and then we have to get our car realigned. It may be drifting to one direction. If you let go of your steering wheel while you're driving, I don't recommend this for long periods of time, but it should go straight. If the car begins to swerve quickly, then your car needs to be realigned. And the reasons for realignment are not necessarily because you're driving improperly. It's because of the wear and tear of everyday driving. An out of alignment car is the result of everyday driving, not necessarily poor driving. And so a realignment will make sure the car drives straight and it handles properly, making obviously our ride a lot safer. Now, this sounds a lot like what we might need as Christians over time. I want to call it a God realignment, or a godly reorientation, if you will. And this takes place, we need this even if we're not purposely sinning. Even if we're not doing anything wrong, we might find ourselves not quite in line as we should be. In our journey on the path, we may sometimes run over a difficult bump in life. We all do. Or we have to quickly swerve around a bad situation. Or we have to brake very hard before we run into a sinful lifestyle. So sometimes, even if we are not sinning, we have to make our way through a sinful situation. The expression that David would say, although I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, David is not where he wants to be, in the valley of the shadow of death. And yet he must walk through it, and oftentimes we too must endure, make it through a difficult, sinful situation. Even if we ourselves are not sinning, per se. And all these things, when it's all said and done, may cause us to perhaps lose our focus. We may feel ourselves, over time, spiritually distracted, not as on fire as it used to be, not as on course as it used to be. Things aren't just as simple as we thought they should be. The Bible says so, I do it. It's not so simple anymore, we may find. Maybe we're not reading the Bible as much as we know we should. Perhaps we were adding other literature in the place of Bible reading. Maybe the Bible has lowered a bit in terms of our priorities. Or maybe we're in church and we might not be as focused in worship as we know we should be or used to be. Maybe our problems outside of church or other concerns are taking more space in our worship than they should be. Maybe we're looking around to take care of our safety, making sure that we are safe, rather than fully trusting in Christ Jesus for our safety. Isn't that what happened to Peter, after all, when he was walking on water? Look at Matthew 14. The issue of Peter was not that he was being sinful walking on water. I dare say he was being very blessed walking on water. But he sunk, for a specific reason. Matthew 14, beginning in verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. And after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, some versions said looking around at the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I cannot argue and say Peter was sinning here. He simply was not focused where he needed to be. He was not aligned, looking straight ahead at Christ, was paying more attention to the winds and the waves around him than the source of his safety. Peter, if you will, had to get realigned and reoriented. It's very possible to be without sin, but still have to deal with sin. That's my number one argument as to why Christ got baptized. We get baptized to wash away our sins that we have done. So why did Christ get baptized? A man without sin. God in the flesh without sin. Well, Christ was operating in a sinful world. There was sin all around him. He was amidst sin all of his life. And perhaps when he was baptized, he was washing himself off fully, prepared to serve God. But back to us humans. One day we may find ourselves spiritually drifting to one side, off of the straight and narrow path. Or we might be going straight, but our life isn't centered on Christ anymore. And our Christianity might feel fake, contrived, like we're checking off the boxes rather than doing it out of our desire and hope and wishes. Again, we don't have to be sinning necessarily. It may be just a wear and tear of making it through this fallen world. But it is possible to get our lives realigned so that we are making our way through life safely. And we can guarantee that a path aligned, focused on Christ, is a pathway that ends up in heaven, our ultimate goal. Well, how do we get this? What is our alignment? What is our orientation? How do we get it back? Well, a car goes to a shop. A car goes to a shop. And if you will, our repair shop is the Word of God. We have to read the Bible. And there, we are capable of having our lives realigned. And we have to steadily and regularly be in God's Word. Not just in church. I hope that we don't open the Bible only in church, but also at home. The Bible is how we learn how to be saved and how we stay saved. The Bible is to our soul like food is for our body. We have to be in that Word on a regular basis. The Bible is also the best place to figure out what is wrong with us. Why am I not going straight as I used to go? Or another analogy, the mirror analogy, James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not just merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself, and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. I mean, isn't that why we have mirrors? See what's wrong with us? What's wrong with our faces? Sometimes I look in the mirror and I see bags under my eyes. And I say, wow, I'm tired. Maybe I should get some more sleep and make an adjustment in my life so I can sleep better. it's a good thing I have a mirror so I can see this. Or yesterday I was shaving and I cut my ear. I couldn't quite see where it was. I couldn't see it. I know I'm colorblind, so I'm sorry. I couldn't quite see it. I was looking around. I had to get Nicole, where am I bleeding? And I had to make a proper adjustment to take care of that bleeding. It's an alum rock and hurts, but it takes care of the issue real quick. But what if I went ahead and continued as if I didn't cut myself? How silly would that be? We see what's wrong with us. We make adjustments. Why do I have a mirror if I can't be able to see what's wrong with me and change to fix the situation? In the Bible, when we look into the Bible, I'm telling you, it's going to show us what's wrong with us. It's why it's sometimes hard to read. It's why maybe deep down we don't want to read it too often, because we know every time I read it, I'm convicted about something. The Bible shows us what's wrong with us as well. We're going to say, wow, I see now what's wrong with my life. And hopefully we say after that, I'm going to fix it. But James says, if we look what it says what's wrong, and we see what's wrong with us, and we forget about it and carry on, that we're merely a hearer of the word. Just a reader, if you will, and not a doer of the word. There's an expression, kept on read. You read the Bible and you keep it just on read, it doesn't do anything. You got to do what it says. And if we don't do what the Bible says, our lives will enter into a bad place. Bad things happen to us. It's just as if a car, if you don't align it, bad things are going to happen. Proverbs 16 for me. Proverbs 16 is like a mirror chapter. The whole Bible is, but the example I want to use is Proverbs 16. It's a mirror chapter, and a lot of it has to do with making sure we adjust how we think about ourselves and our lives. How Isaiah would say, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. The goal is to have our thoughts like his thoughts and our way his way. Proverbs 16:1 is a clarification that we may have forgotten at times. Proverbs 16:1, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. In other words, we can make our own plans. We certainly can. But God is the one who will have the final say or the final answer. And we may forget about that at times. Proverbs 16:9 is a similar verse. Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. As time passes, I come to Proverbs 16, I try to go there once a month, but every now and then I fade away from that verse and I begin to believe that my plans are the best plans. I begin to think I should take credit for what I have planned out. My orientation going a little bit further away from the Bible. The Bible is clear, God's plans are the best, but I begin to think maybe I have something different. Slowly forgetting that my life is being directed by God. I begin to make plans and begin to think that the success of those plans is based upon me. Hence, giving myself too much pressure. Hence, being too hard on myself or giving myself too much credit. And I have to get back to understanding that my plans only work if God wants them to. I need to make sure my mind is reoriented towards God. Because if I remember that God is in charge of everything in my entire life, I'll talk to God a lot more. Because I need to make sure I do what he says. Rather than trusting myself. I'll have more peace because I also know that God's in control, not me. God's not going to mess up. I will. So I have more peace in my life. And I'll praise God more because he did it, not me. He desires to be praised because I realize that all glory and power, all things that are good come from him. Like me, you may find yourself, your heart being realigned right now as you read those verses. Well, check out Proverbs 16, verse 3. Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Well, if that's true, then why do my plans often not work? Because those are my plans, not God's plans. There's a big difference. See, the goal of Christianity, the goal of the Bible, is that we, our thoughts are focused and realigned to God's thoughts. Our ways are realigned to God's ways. Our ideas and hopes and dreams are reoriented towards God's hopes and dreams. And we need to find that difference in the Word of God. And not assume that our plans are God's plans. Because any plan based upon me is going to fail. Sure, my plans may work out for a little while. My ideas may have a little bit of life in them, but only plans of God last. Sometimes we may convince ourselves or say out loud that we have plans for the church and for God, but actually it's ourselves and the plans fail. Let's examine ourselves top to bottom and make sure our plans are truly towards God's glory. And I also fail if my plans are based upon greed or material things or material gain or just making money. There's no guarantee that such plans will work, but we are guaranteed that our plans will work if committed to God. And then God will take care of all those material things and money and such. The Bible says so. Matthew 6:33 is a verse that I find myself just going over and over again back to, just so basic but so true. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, all these things were the above reading, and they're all material things, clothing, money, they will be added unto you. Remember the Lord's Prayer? He says, Lord, teach me how to pray. Okay, the second priority in that prayer, the second phrase is, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. So what does God want? What does God want then? So, God want to do what you say, then what do you want? What, therefore, is a plan that's committed to God? Because I want to make sure that I do what is right. I mean, if this is true, God, I want to have this guarantee that what I do works, because what is it? Because a plan committed to God is a plan committed to his will, and we can be sure that a plan according to God's will shall work. So, and with God's will is no mystery at all. I'm so happy he clearly states what he wants. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. This is God's plan. His plan for our lives and a plan for everybody's life. This is God's wish. This is God's desire. This is God's hope. This is God's dream for every single person. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. See, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God desires. Very few do it. Many are called, few are chosen. The way of error is broad and many people follow it. But God desires that we all do it, though. He wants that for us. And so, do we have plans that are based around that? Do we at least have a few plans based around what God's greatest desire is? Or at least a few of our hopes, what God hopes for most of all? Saving others and growing in God's truth. This is what church is all about. This is what we're here to do. We are here to show God's desire. The church, the body of Christ, is supposed to be about this. And if we are not a part of that, if our energy isn't being given to that kind of priority, then we should not be surprised if our plans fail. We should not be surprised if we don't care what God cares about, then our plans don't work out. These are very easy spiritual, logical conclusions. Proverbs 16:9. Back to Proverbs. Proverbs 16, verse 9. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 16 continues the realignment, reorientation problem, process. Again, verse 2 of Proverbs 16. All the ways, Proverbs 16:2, the continual thoughts here. The whole chapter is all about this kind of stuff. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the motives. The Lord understands. And to help us out further, we have verse 25 of that same chapter, Proverbs 16:25. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And that's what we're trying to avoid right there. That's why we got to get realigned. Because if we're not aligned properly, it's just going to end in the wrong situation. Death, the Bible says. We have to make sure that our morality is determined by God and God alone. Not what society says, not what movies glorify. Our morality needs to stay in the Word of God. Once more, the wear and tear of life will eventually make us lose our orientation. If we often hang out with people who use a lot of bad language, that will slowly push our sense of purity of good language off base. It's going to happen. Sometimes we can't avoid it. Some people have jobs in which people are using bad language all the time. And so we can't avoid that pothole, if you will, in life. You know, in Buffalo, New York, whenever it snows or ice, they put salt on the ground. The salt goes into cracks, makes the cracks bigger. More snow, ice, cracks get bigger. More salt, ice, snow. And so before you know it, by around February, March, there are huge potholes in Buffalo, New York. And I used to work as a campus minister in University of Buffalo. And to drive into the parking lot, you had to go through a tremendous, humongous pothole. Your car always went poof, poof to get to work, no matter what. And so every car who went to UB had to get realigned at some point. Some of our lives are like that. We may have to go through potholes like that in life. We have to go through something in which we know, at some point, let me get back to how it should be. Take some time to realign. The words of popular music these days will fill our minds and will have their effect on our thoughts. The world gets very excited about certain things, and that will push us to get excited about them as well, and not so excited about what we should be excited about. The world gets angry about things, and we may get angry with them as well. So there are popular TV shows, and we get so caught up, and we feel what the world wants us to feel, even if those feelings are not necessarily based upon reality or the Word of God. And with all this pulling and pushing and grabbing of our emotions and time and attention, if we're not careful, we may find ourselves, or our sense of morality, a bit off, a bit altered. We may find that God's way is not necessarily our way anymore, and God's priorities are not our priorities, because society definitely does not have the priority of God in mind. So let's be careful about what we feel is right or wrong. What we feel is not more important than what God says is right or wrong. But it is possible to get our feelings once more aligned with God. You remember, lots of things seem right to us, but they lead to death. And we can only know this by looking to the Word of God. Now, church, if I did whatever I felt like all the time, that would not be good. Because I know that my way would lead not only to my downfall, but to the downfall of other people. Proverbs 16:11, as we close. Proverbs 16:11. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. And He defines what is fair. All the weights of the bag are His concern. In other words, ideas such as fairness and justice are determined by God. And we Christians should know this. The world has their own definition of what is fair and what is just. This morning we discussed the rebellion of Korah. Korah had his own idea of what was fair. Korah thought he knew what was fair, but God had his own ideas of what is fair. The world thinks they know what is fair all the time. Every single week we have a new idea of what is fair and just, and social justice warriors, right or wrong, they know what is just according to society. But as for us Christians, let's make sure we are aligned with the Word of God. Let's remember, justice comes from God. He determines what is fair. Always has been from God. Always will be from God. If any man has been wronged, God will repay. God will avenge. And nobody is overlooked. If any man is guilty, God will repay. Nobody escapes. See, an alignment back to God will ensure that we have a safe and peaceful straight journey to heaven. Let's have peace in our hearts and souls. Let's get back to looking at this world from God's point of view. The way to Christ, the way to peace, the way to heaven is the same for all. Believe, repent, and be baptized in Jesus' name. And let's all stay true to God. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.